Good evening, planet Earth. Good evening to the ferrymen taking people across the River of Styx. Make sure you have a silver coin for that ferryman, or he's not taking you anywhere, son of a bitch. Good evening to the wolf hunters and those wolves hunting hunters. Good evening to those cougars who are getting ready to go out to head to the bar to hunt themselves a lover. Good evening to those pirates fighting the navies of Jubilon 16. Good evening. It is still April the 28th, 2024. This is my second podcast for today. You know why? Because I dared myself to get kind of caught up, you know, sort of caught up on notes, whatever, like I care. So it's still April the 28th, and I'm drinking a Kirkland-style cold brew coffee, 100% Colombian. That's nice, right? Yeah, and it's almost 7 p.m. So I hope your Sunday is going okay. It's unlikely you're listening to me live, since that's technically impossible. But you are listening. You know what I'm saying? You're listening. And that's what matters. That's what counts. You know what I'm saying? Listening. So I'm just going to go over some thoughts for today. I saw something about the Chipotle double steak bowl. The bowl from Chipotle, the shame bowl, as Patton Oswalt might say. I saw something about the Chipotle double steak bowl costing $39 now. Fuck! But it does seem like bright siding to me, because when I look at the bowl, there's still steak in there. You see, these days, you'll go to the store and you'll buy Parmesan cheese. But what you can be certain of is you'll have wood chips, and they'll have flavoring, and there'll be no Parmesan cheese. You can buy orange juice, and it will be orange, but there won't be any fucking oranges. You can have a salad made out of paper, made out of poison. It's a hell of a salad. And you can have a chicken McNugget, and if you can find the part of a chicken that is the McNugget, you can find my lost gold. I know that's a lot of money for a Chipotle bowl, but guys, come on. There's a lot worse going on, and I think the real issue here is one day you're going to pay not $39 or $40 or even $100, but you'll find yourself paying $200 for a double steak Chipotle bowl, and you'll be real lucky if you get one of those Dinty Moore stew-style protein nuggets. If you know, you know. You'll be lucky if you get two of those things. And then you can send one to a scientist and ask him, is there any fucking beef in this fucking Dinty Moore stew-style meat nugget? Well, there's crickets. Yeah, there's crickets, all right. So one of the things that's been holding me back from podcasting, it's not the only thing, it's probably not even the main thing, but one of the things that's been holding me back is that this whole winter here in this camper, I've had really unstable electricity. And in retrospect, it's because I assumed that people knew more about something than they did, and that's as much as I want to say. I fixed it mostly, but I didn't fix the fear. And the fear is that I can't replace my keyboard. You probably feel good about that. You know, you feel good about it. I can't replace the keyboard. I can't afford to. I can't replace a computer of mine that basically was damaged last autumn, not because of the electrical issues, but because I'm a big man in a tiny camper and I spilt something. And I'm not going to blame the camper for that, but the reality is maneuvering here is problematic, and that's a nice way to put it. I can't afford to replace my recorder. It's a really good Zoom recorder. I've had it since 2019. I can't afford to replace it, you know? These are just facts. And I'm not complaining, and I don't expect you to give a fuck. There's a good chance that there's stuff in your life that's way more expensive, way more important, that you can't replace. So for a moment, pretend that I understand this. I'm just talking about it. I try, believe it or not, in every one of my podcasts to try to just say, listen, you know, it's not the end of the world, blah, blah, blah. But have you ever been to a place in your life where you feel like you need to tell people that? Don't give up. Keep going. Keep trying. There's a way through. And you still need to tell people that, especially if they're kids. Because whatever your fucking shitty attitude is, if you're going to be around a kid, you don't abuse them. You don't lie to them. You don't treat them like shit. But you also don't dark doom them to hell so they feel like life is worthless. And it's a very tricky thing, especially for me. And I feel compelled to tell people, teenagers or adults, and these days it's hard to distinguish between the two, you know. I try to tell people, don't give up. But believe it or not, a lot of these days, the last few months, I felt like giving up. Not in any big way, not in any suicidal sense, but in the sense of, what's the fucking point? You know? And I doubt I'm alone. I think a lot of us have felt the glow of what is coming starting 10 years ago. And I know that sounds weird, but I'll repeat it. I think a lot of us felt the glow of the future way before it arrived. I'm not special. I was one of them. And then in 2019, it felt so intense, I had to tell people. I said, the world's about to change. I wasn't certain how exactly. I had a general idea. You know, there are some podcasts you can listen to if you can find them. One is called The Great Discontinuity. I'm tired of worrying if you can find them. No offense, though. Because when you get censored at a certain point, you get tired of explaining it to people. So if you can find a podcast from late 2019 called The Great Discontinuity, it's not the only one from late 2019 I'd recommend. You know, Panic in the Year Zero is a good one. The Stranded Unconscious Skier is another one. But there's a few of them. And one of the things I tell my listeners is the world's about to change. I don't have all the answers. Here's a bunch of scenarios. You know, I did not quite see the degree to which they would use military psychological warfare. In retrospect, I should have. But I didn't quite see that. Like, I've always understood it's a useful tool, but I never really understood to what extent it would become a strategic tool. And in 2020, military psychological warfare became the king of battle. Period. And when I realized that, and a few of us did, by March of 2020, the base case was, well, it's a super-duper bank holiday. I talked about it in a previous podcast from February 2019 called Screwbilly. You know, the rich people get a jubilee again and the rest of us get fucked. The Screwbilly. Best case scenario, if you're really, really, really a bright sider, if you're a fucking optimist to the nth degree, even today in 2024, you could say, well, Dan, it's just the fucking Screwbilly. And it could be. That was a scenario I talked about. But I think it's probably worse. And I don't feel comfortable telling people that. I can tell you it's not the end of the world, But I can also tell you the stuff that we're all going to see, best case scenario, is going to be so horrifying that many people will drop dead from fear. They'll just drop dead from the fact that they can't handle it. The first thing that will kill them is the fear. And then comes the thirst and the hunger and being attacked by Tlungit tribes. Yeah, that comes later. Yeah, much later. So I just had some thoughts I wanted to go over. I don't know. One of the things I also wanted to mention, we're getting more of the stuff in the news now. And a lot of this popped up in 2020. You notice how they replaced BLM Antifa with Palestinian protesters? You noticed how they're doing the whole, oh shit, all the chickens got chicken herpes, well you can't have no eggs, huh? Well, we've seen that before, right? I mean, they're spinning up the PSYOPs from 2020. And you could say, well, Dan, it's just because the Democrats want to steal the election. I'm so sorry, but if that's what you believe, you're still solving problems from 2019. And it's never going to be that again. You know, you're never going back. You can give me all the bullshit about how, well, if we could just go back, sure. But the problem is that world, 2019, gave birth to 2020. Fuckhead. So when you talk to me about going back, I don't know what to tell you. You got yourself a time machine? So yeah, if they tell you the potatoes are polluted, they're probably shipping them someplace. This is what they were doing in 2020. If they tell you that the cows exploded, those cows have probably been put on a ship and moved someplace. If they tell you that the food processing plant can't make no more shit, well, it's probably because the supply chain has been rerouted. Yeah. That's where I'm at. I don't believe any of these fucking agro-business stories. They have the reek of Pravda 1983. Oh my God, the capitalist just blew up factory number 7. That's why you don't get no meat this week. You know, translate to Russian, of course. So these are stories that are hard for me to believe. It's a lot like the Vatican. I used to believe, as a Catholic kid, even though I was kind of an atheist and the Catholic Church turned me into an atheist, I used to believe, well, they're probably mostly honest because what the fuck, how do I know? But the more I've learned about the Vatican over the years, the more I've just considered that they might be the opposite of what was portrayed to me, the Pope and the Vatican, what was portrayed to me as a kid. You know, it's like the Mayan texts, you know, those Mayan texts that the Jesuits burnt and the conquistadors burnt. Well, they burn all the ancient Mayan texts and we'll never, ever know. And I think now maybe those texts were never burned. I'm sure something was burned, but probably not the Mayan texts. You start to see the world differently, really, after a while. Anyways. I'm being random right now, but I'm going to go back to the scheduled stories and the scheduled whatever. First topic, officially, like I said, it's around 7 o'clock, 4/28/24. Oh boy. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. If you think you know where the elite's bunker complex is, you are probably wrong, unless your answer is Antarctica. And here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. Please don't be offended. You will never reach the bunkers where those who are most guilty dwell, but God will. God will. Yeah, that's the thing. But I'm also going to add this too. Let's say, and I've talked about this in my podcast before, but it's kind of fun to revisit. It's one of those Hanlon's razor trolley problem kind of moral dilemmas I'll throw at you like a fucking existential hand grenade. But let's say you've got a family. You've got a husband or a wife, you've got kids, you've got a family. Let's say you got 3 kids and they're still kids, they're not even teenagers yet. And somebody knocks on your door and says, knock, knock, knock. Knock, knock, knock. And you let them in and you have a conversation. And the dude says, well, listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you tell anybody else, all of you will be killed. But the world is about to go lopsided. The world is about to flip over. Pretty much everywhere, everybody is going to die. But there's this place in Antarctica. And you can come. You can come with your family. You can't call anybody. You can't warn anybody. This isn't Miracle Mile. You can choose right now to come or be left behind. And, you know, you can kind of imply what that means, which basically means, you know, come with us or die in a way, but probably, right? Because the dude doesn't want you to talk, but who knows, right? But let's pretend there's no threat of death. Let's just pretend that you have a choice. You can go to the bunkers, or you can stay and die with your friends. We'll keep it really fucking simple. Because it doesn't matter if you tell your friends. I mean, since if I've learned anything since 2020, it doesn't really matter if you tell people, like, prior to January 6, 2021, that it's a Fed FBI mindfuck and you're a moron for going to D.C., and if you're gonna go to D.C., go to the fucking Eccles building, asshole. Yeah. I told people that. I said they're cartoon soldiers on social media. They're amping you up. They're trying to set you up. Don't fucking go. You can tell people this. That doesn't mean they're going to fucking listen, because they need the illusion. They need to believe that somehow, some way, their magical fucking world keeps going. You know what I fucking mean? So this family, the mom and the dad, the husband and the wife, the kids, they could tell everybody and it wouldn't fucking matter. That's the point of the game we're at. You can tell your neighbor, you can tell your uncle, they're going to fucking laugh at you. That is where we're at. So let's get back to the story. It doesn't matter if they squeal. The dude doesn't care. He knows very well that people are in a state of deep delusion and confusion, and they wouldn't even hear it. But you can't bring your family with you outside of your family. It's your current family. It's your kids, your husband, your wife. You can't have uncles or aunts. You can't call friends to come with you. You can tell them what's happening. They won't believe you. But you can't invite them along. It's just you. And you might say, well, Dan, I'm not connected with my other brothers and sisters. I love my husband. I love my wife. I love my kids. I don't care about my friends. This is what's important to me. And you could say that, but let me just ask you a question really quick. If you knew that where you were going would be almost impossible to get away from, would you still go? Would you still go? If it was in the middle of a jungle, if it was some floating prison like in the Marvel movies under 10,000 feet of water or 2,000 feet, who the fuck knows? If you were going to a place that was, unless you're a superhero, virtually impossible to escape from, would you still go? Question. There's no answer. You don't have to answer. Just think on it. But here's the other thing I want you to think about before you answer the dude in a suit, the man in black who shows up at your door and offers you and your family survival, quote unquote. In the history of shit that government has built, point to me a success story, especially in the modern age, that lasts more than 100 years. Show me something that they built that is truly a success story. Well, Dan, they built that Cheyenne Mountain. Yeah, I know they built Cheyenne Mountain, but that's not going to last more than a few months. What you're going to need in Antarctica or a place like that is a bunker system that's going to last hundreds of years for this scenario. You have to believe a couple of things. You have to believe the man in black is telling you the truth, the world's coming to an end or whatever. You have to believe that, A. And then B, you have to believe that it makes a fucking difference to go to the fucking bunker. You have to believe that the people that built the bunker, the same military-industrial complex that sent us to the moon and then forgot how they went to the moon, you know, that was dumb. But anyways, you have to believe that these motherfuckers could build a bunker that would stay safe, that would actually function for more than a couple of years. And then you have to believe that all the shitty people that get rounded up and shipped down there, because you might be good people, who the fuck knows why they'd be inviting you. In fact, that's something to think on too. Let's pretend you're just a poor family. Why would they fucking be inviting you to this thing? Why would they be doing that? Well, it's my genetics, and my husband's an engineer, maybe. But I'm thinking they've had engineers in Antarctica working on the complex for several decades, so they don't need any more, and you know, at all, period. So you do have to ask a couple questions. Is the dude telling the truth? Why do they want us down there? Do I actually believe the bunker would survive? And if you're a Christian and you're confronted by the man in black, and I don't mean Johnny Cash, he's pretty cool, but if you're a Christian and the dude shows up at your door, it's going to be a lot like take it or leave it in a way, because you'll be left with the thought, well, because I didn't go, because I couldn't get over my fear, my kids are going to die. But I think there's more going on than that, don't you? So, yeah, do I think the elite have bunkers? Yes, I do. Do I think the elite have been building bunkers to survive? I do. And it's why I've been focused on Antarctica, because if you wanted to build a complex that would be geographically remote, would be more or less a safe zone with respect to nuclear fallout, because it's basically a desert, has massive amounts of fresh water and other resources, Antarctica's ideal. And the fact that it is kind of horrible and dark down there half the year or whatever, that works to your benefit, really. You don't really want people paying you a visit. You don't want Lee Marvin with his other radioactive friends showing up with a neutron bomb. And if Lee Marvin is coming, you want to be able to read his, you know, alpha and beta radiation from a few thousand miles away, you know. I know I sound crazy when I talk about Antarctica, but I think it's even more absurd to think that we know. Like, I would be willing to admit I have no fucking clue where their bunkers are. I don't. I came to this conclusion partially deductively, but, you know, more or less deductively, but based on a set of theories and axioms, which could be false. Some of them could be false. I don't know for certain. But here is something I'm pretty fucking certain of. If there's a bunker they're going to, it's not the one they talk about in the New York Post. It's not something you read or hear about from an edgelord on YouTube. I don't care. Oh, I got the best edgelord on YouTube. He tells me about Trump's secret army in the Grand Canyon. Nyob, 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 nyob. Trump's secret army. Oh, boy. No, Trump's secret army. God damn, the shit that I've been hearing, not just the last 4 years, but pretty much since 2016, it's just absurd bullshit. Probably the most indicative thing of how fucked up shit is that Donald Trump is the kind of savior to so many Americans. He really is. He's become a kind of savior, a recurrent Christ figure. He's been crucified and he's risen again. It is sick, it is twisted, but there are a lot of Americans and people overseas that believe this fucking nonsense. Now, of course, you have to ignore the bump stocks and the warp speed vaccine and the fact that the entire COVID bullshit happened under his, you know, administration. Or that the BLM Antifa look a lot like a government-funded op. You have to pretend a lot to pretend he's your friend. But a lot of people do. This nasty, corrupt, bile-ridden piece of shit. Does that mean I like Biden? No. Did I tell you I was a fucking anarchist? Who the fuck do you think I'm voting for? Probably nobody, shithead. But the fact that some of you think Trump's going to help you indicates that the story, at least this story, the chapter we're in, is almost over. But yeah, if a dude shows up at the door and says, "Listen, pal, you and your family are welcome at the bunker," don't necessarily jump on that train immediately, is my advice. Plus, there's the possibility, like I said, that the guy's full of shit, and maybe you have a better chance outside the bunker. Dan, you've been mean on Trump. Oh boy, have I? Have I? Have I really? Have I really? Been been so mean. So, you remember 16 Candles and Breakfast Club? You know, those movies. There were a bunch of these John Hughes movies. Home Alone, fuck. And didn't he do Adventures in Babysitting or something? What the fuck? John Hughes. I have a quote from Dr. Freckles. 16 Candles was the penultimate psyop, Dr. Freckles. But I don't like that quote, so I'm going to read you another quote from Dr. Freckles. John Hughes was selling tickets to nowhere. He was. He was selling tickets to nowhere. I remember the 80s. I was a teenager in the 80s, you know? Watching 16 Candles was like watching a version of my reality. You know, it's what was going on, whatever. But I look back upon the stories that were sold to me as a kid, and I just want to shake myself, shake my younger self, say, wake up out of this trance. Especially when Reagan was president, you know. Back then, it was like, he's such a great guy, he's fighting for freedom, blah, blah, blah. But the reality was, it wasn't that, though, was it? There was more going on. And whatever Ronald Reagan was or could have been, who knows? I mean, in some ways, it feels like when he got shot in his head early in his administration, it was like there was a different Reagan afterwards. Now, of course, that's conspiratorial. But in retrospect, it kind of seems like the Bush administration started in the Reagan administration. Take that as you will. If you're a fan of Papa Bush and all the Bushes, my God, you definitely aren't a fan of Trump unless you're schizophrenic. That's all I can say. You can't really be a fan of both. You can be a MAGA or a Bushhead. You probably can't be both, but as if I fucking care. Next topic. Because I'm not going to talk about John Hughes anymore. You can watch a John Hughes movie and feel better or worse. I don't care. I don't fear death. I don't fear death. I fear that I'm already dead. And this is hell. That's a quote from Dr. Freckles. I don't fear death. I fear that I'm already dead. And this is hell. And that's pretty dark. I did a podcast in 2015. I have a link to a video from a place where I was removed called YouTube, but I was able to load it up to Rumble until they cancel me. But hey, I have a link to a podcast from 2015 I did. It's a video podcast. You might enjoy it. It's kind of dumb. But one of the premises of the podcast was, what if I died in my sleep? And I look back upon the last 9 years. You know, I very well could have died in my sleep. See, I'm not afraid of death, and this is the truth. But sometimes I wake up and I wonder, am I already dead? Especially since 2020. Especially when I talk to people I know, friends, family, neighbors, people I work with, when I hear what these kids have to say, I know that this isn't hell, but this sure as fuck isn't heaven. And there's so much darkness. And maybe I am darkness. Maybe I am also part of this evil. If, you know, I can play pretend if I want to and say, no, 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 I'm separate from it. But that's a kind of an intellectual game, isn't it? We're all part of it. Well, Dan, I live on the edge of nowhere. Well, did you get there by getting tickets from John Hughes? I don't fear death. And I know I sound crazy, but sometimes I wonder, am I dead? Those are the moments where I really do come close to losing my faith. It's not the issue of science. Science failed me. Science failed me philosophically before I found that Jesus was standing next to me. So when it comes to issues of science, that doesn't bother me. I'm used to being disappointed. Every 5 years since I've been 5 years old, we're going back to the moon again. every 10 years since I was fucking 10 years old. We're going to Mars in 10 years. Every fucking year since we're so close to fusion energy, the electronic brain will make life so easy. I've had nothing but fucking promises. Now, is the CGI better? Are the special effects better today than they were when I was a kid? Hell yeah. That applies to all the bullshit. I see a Boston Robotics fucking robot. I see a SpaceX goddamn rocket ship. I don't see anything I take seriously. I see a fucking movie. So science failed me a long time ago. I'm not saying the scientific method is bad. I'm saying science as a religion, as an institution, if you want to call it scientism, I don't give a fuck. That secular worldview that gets trumpeted by a lot of prominent atheists, it failed me a long time ago, disappointed me a long time ago. But it still could be a cold, empty universe of consciousness. It still could be the case that you were an accident and I was an accident. It could totally be the case that what happened here is so fucking rare, it didn't happen anywhere else. And that this universe is a big lonely place, and one day we will be gone, and no one will remember, and no one will give a fuck. So yeah, in 2015, I thought that I died in my sleep. Yeah. But the good news is this isn't hell. It's just sometimes it feels like it. Next topic. Dan, you're so dark. Yeah, I told you. I told you what would happen, shithead. Oh man, this is a good one. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. It's before I get into this, in my old blog Dendritica from 10 years ago, I had this little page, The Arc of the American Dream, and I should probably find it one day and repost it, but this very much could have been, you know, this could have been one of those types of predictions. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles, okay? Dying of a stroke in your sleep is the new American dream. The new American dream. Is dying in your sleep. Yeah, it's fucked up. That's a fucked up thing to say, but sometimes I feel like that too. The American dream, retirement, how this all ends, you know, if I'm lucky, it won't be painful stage 4 cancer. If I'm lucky, I won't be eaten by cannibals in the year 2027. If I'm lucky, I won't die of thirst or hunger. If I'm lucky, I won't live long enough before I die to see human beings become worse than what they are today, and most of them are pretty fucking bad today. So yeah, sometimes I think to myself that the new American dream is dying of a stroke. In your sleep, you know, maybe you're dreaming of a film called Lustfest, starring Scarlett Johansson, Sidney Sweeney, Margot Robbie, and that sweltering Salma Hayek as Sister Suede. You know, maybe that's how you die. Sister Suede has you tied down as Margot Robbie and Scarlett Johansson, and that Sweeney chick rub oils on you. I mean, yeah, and then you have a stroke and you die. And that sounds a lot like the American dream at this point. Dan, that's terrible. Fuck you. Next topic. Fuck you. Fuck you. Okay. Oh, here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. I'm going to drink a little bit of this cold brew coffee first, if that's okay with you. Here's the quote. Suicide drone, kamikaze drone, ghost gun, come from the same place of ignorance, really. What does that mean? Well, firstly, If you read anything in a newspaper that reads kamikaze drone or suicide drone, and you don't wince a little, there's something wrong with you. There's no such thing. They don't exist. But Dan, unless, okay, here's how a suicide drone could exist. The drone controller sits in a box and has some sort of fucking high voltage shit hooked up to his fucking testicles. And when the drone hits its target, about, I don't know, maybe 20,000 volts at 2,000 amps goes through his fucking testicles and body. Then, okay, that would be a fucking suicide drone. Drone explodes, you electrocute the fucking drone controller in whatever office space he is in Vegas, and then you get another one, right? That would be a suicide drone. Everything else is a guided missile. Stop being a fucking moron. And as far as ghost guns go, there's no such thing as a ghost gun. There are guns you buy at Cabela's, and there are guns you buy from the black market. There are guns you buy at whatever, your local gun shop, whatever, and there are guns you buy from Phil behind the 7-Eleven at midnight. And nowhere in all of this shit is some type of bullshit called the ghost gun. Well, Dan, what about 3D? Yeah, that's a 3D printed gun. There aren't any fucking ghost parts. This is a lot like chemtrails, suicide drone, all this fucking terminology that's being tossed around that's a pile of fucking bullshit, mainly designed to demonize what in this case is just technology, which is basically a 3D printed gun. Big fucking deal. You could probably buy a 3D printed gun from somebody who has a firearms license. And you could probably buy one from Phil. And so the real issue isn't the fucking gun, it's how you purchase it. I don't care. It's using fourth industrial revolution. Fuck you if I care. It's a fucking gun. Does it work? Fuck you. Here's your money, Phil. Thank you for the fucking gun. Next topic. Ghost guns. Suicide drones. Yeah, like I said, the drone operator should explode. When the drone explodes, if it's a suicide drone, fuck you, Zero Hedge. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. And if you can hear the rain, I don't know if you can, but there's a little bit of a rain outside, some rain, pitter-patter. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Follow the paper trail of Y2K bullshit, and you likely end up at 9/11. Follow that paper trail. All of the systems, all the mainframes, all the cameras. Yeah, follow that paper trail sometime. I mean, this is just a supposition on my part, a conjecture, and I doubt I'm original if it's a meaningful association, but I'm certain other people in recent years have thought about this. Like, in terms of the prep work for 9/11, Y2K is great cover for it. Because one of the things you need to control in military psychological warfare is any other version of the story. It's one of the reasons why I had a bunch of dingbats yelling at me in the summer of 2020 for wanting to take actual video up close, so you could see the fucking Glock 19s or whatever else, the service pistols, sticking out of the butt cracks of those Seattle bike cops pretending to be Antifa. God forbid people realize the government is mind-fucking you, and you're paying taxes to be mind-fucked. If you want to pull off a 9/11, there's a lot of systems you have to get into, okay? So yeah, I sometimes think Y2K was that, in part because as an officer in the Army, I was involved in a little bit of that Y2K bullshit. And even though I wasn't into computers at the time, it kind of occurred to me that there's something wrong here. It seemed too dumb. I say this a lot these days, but it seemed too dumb to be this dumb. It's like the opposite of Hanlon's razor. It does seem stupid, but it's almost too fucking stupid. Or as Elon Musk would say, it's gotta be real because it looks so fake. Yeah, that's sideways, you know. That's some real fucking Cro-Magnon thought thinking there, Elon. Good Cro-Magnon, man. Cro-Magnon, Elon. I love rocket. I love car. Look at my Tesla. Hey, baby. I'm just imagining caveman Elon. Anyways, you do your own thinking on it. But 9/11 was a big op. And there's a lot of prep work you need to do for a big op like that. Next topic. Right. So this is related to the previous quote, and almost nobody listening will know what it means, and I don't care. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Microsoft Amalga was prep work for the COVID PSYOP. Well, what does that mean, Dan? Well, it's not just about Amalga. I don't want to go into the story too much because you can research it if you want to. It's kind of a depressing story for me because it points to some of my naivete. Simply put, Microsoft Amalga was a healthcare information system. It was more or less being forced upon hospitals back in 2010 by the Obama administration, and it was a piece of shit. I mean, it was really bad. It had bad features. You could have 240 terabytes, but a polynomial search cost? Yeah, if you know anything about databases, and you know that it should be, you know, constant time, mostly good indexes, hash time, and I tell you that I have 250 terabytes, and I have to search it with a cost of polynomial time, you can come back to me and say, holy fuck, what's wrong? And that was Microsoft Amalga. And that was just one of its flaws. It had lots of flaws. But if you needed to get into every hospital in the country, if you're Bill Gates and you need to get your sticky fingers into each one of these fucking systems so that you can control the narrative, well, holy fuck, all of a sudden Microsoft Amalga piece of shit makes a lot more fucking sense. Yeah. But Dan, Hanlon's razor says nothing. It's more likely people are dumb than people are evil. But as a Christian, I think evil is dumb. Anyways, I don't want to spend time on this because this is a good example of stuff. How can I put it? I'll put it the way I put it. Put it the way I always say it. This is a good example of solving problems from 2019. It doesn't fucking matter. It really doesn't. What enabled the COVID is irrelevant at this point. What enabled the COVID PSYOP doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't. It doesn't matter if you think horse dewormer saved your life. It doesn't fucking matter if you think there's a Wuhan super lab. It doesn't fucking matter if you think there's a wet market or that the vaccine's killing millions. I still don't know anybody that was killed by the vaccine. I still don't know anybody that was injured. But holy fuck, I'm constantly told it's always happening. Am I right? And yeah, once again, I went to the hospital, you know, a little more than a year ago, got surgery. Nobody gave me a COVID test. Nobody gave me a vaccine. That's weird. That's weird. Yeah. And it's anecdotal. It's anecdotal. It doesn't prove shit. So let's go on to the next topic so everybody can hold on to their necessary illusions, right? This is a dumb Dr. Freckles quote. Gaslighting, : it's what's for Twitter. Mind fucking, it's what's for Twitter. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Gaslighting, it's what's for Twitter. Anyways, I don't want to talk about it. If you've been on social media, you know what the fuck I'm talking about. Enough said, next topic. So this is a little bit of a screed, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because I'm not in a good place with God right now. And so talking on this authoritatively is problematic. But here's something I just want to say to summarize this topic without getting into deeper problems with God. If you have a minister that tells you, don't question it, don't ask questions. If authorities tell you to do something, do it. If they say you should take a vaccine, you better. If they tell you to put a coffee filter on your face, you must. But what's important also, if you have a minister that tells you, don't question it in terms of the Lord. in terms of the Bible. I'll let you on a little secret. This minister might not be on God's team. The Lord gave us free will. The Lord gave us a mind to reason with. These are powers we should use. You know, as a Christian, when I think about the story of Thomas sticking his hand in that wound, the wound of the risen Jesus, I do think the Lord in heaven smiled. I think the Lord in heaven said to himself, they're growing up. The Lord doesn't want us to be fools. And there's plenty in the Bible to point that out. The Lord doesn't want us to be taken advantage of, even though that happens a lot. The Lord doesn't want us to go after false gods, but there are false gods being sold in Christian churches all across America, and they come with a brand new car. But I'm not in a good place with God right now, so me preaching about these issues is problematic. I would say, if someone tells you, you should not question anything as a Christian, I will tell you, as a Christian, the Lord wants us to ask questions. There is nothing about the Lord's universe that would suffer by you asking questions. There is nothing about the authority of God that suffers by you asking questions. If somebody says that you asking questions threatens God or his kingdom, then that person doesn't really have a very high estimation of either the Lord or his kingdom. You were given a mind. You were given free will. Right about now, every motherfucker that can gaslight you in your personal life, on social media, the fucking government, anyone who can and has a need to is doing it. And you're being fed a lot of bullshit, especially when it comes to things like what's happening in Gaza or what's happening in the Ukraine. Who the fuck knows, really? Nobody I know. But the one thing the Lord wants you to do, to include maybe not use so many bad words, right? The one thing the Lord definitely wants you to do is ask questions. If you have faith in the Lord, it's not very complicated. Your faith can survive any question. If you have very little faith, you'll find out really fast. Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. You may think it's the great white. You may think it's a giant truck. You may think it's a meteor. You may think it's Bigfoot or pirates made of Bigfoot that kill the most people. But spoiler alert, ignorance kills the most people. Dr. Freckles, anyways. Well, what does that mean? It's not that hard to interpret, brothers and sisters. Ignorance is what kills. Yeah, cancer kills and lightning bolts kill. All kinds of random accidents kill. But if you ask me what kills the most people, it's ignorance. It is. It absolutely is, hands down. And even saying that, will it change anything? Probably not. Sometimes we can all be stupid. Sometimes we take stupid risks because we're having fun. Some people do really crazy, stupid shit because they enjoy it. And in that sense, if they're rational, they take a calculated risk. But still, you know, you could say kind of crazy. But that's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who say, well, Dan, Putin is really, really bad. And if we don't fight Putin in the Ukraine, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of Ukrainians, if you believe what you're being told, and this is a big if you believe the narrative, a lot of fucking Ukrainians are being tossed into that meat grinder. And if you're wrong about your support, it doesn't matter because you have no power. But if you had power and you were wrong, then basically your ignorance is killing a buttload of people. But you don't have any power, so don't worry about it. Like you might agree with our policy, you might disagree. It's really fucking irrelevant. It doesn't matter. But Dan, I'm going to vote. I know you're going to vote. I mean, maybe. I don't know. This is the first election where I find myself saying, yeah, this year, I don't know. But yeah, if you vote this coming election or somebody votes for you or whatever, as if it matters, I don't care. It's going to be about making yourself feel better. I get it. I'm trying to drink less beer, not because beer is bad, but because I've been drinking too much. I'm going to try to quit smoking, not because I think smoking is the worst thing in the world, but because I don't need to be smoking at my age. There are lots of things I'm thinking about doing, even though I think a shit show is about to unfold, and it won't fucking matter. But I'm not going to be voting. So I'll say it again, I've said it so many times. You keep voting, I'll keep drinking. Let's see who stays sober the longest. But Dan, Trump has a secret army. And he's arresting all the child traffickers, except for the ones from the Vatican. Except for those, though, right? Yeah. And I'm not sure he's doing any of those things. I'm not sure any of those things happened. I got to be honest with you, when I think about all the stories about the FBI or whatever, breaking into people's places and, you know, saving the kids, it's a nice story, but I don't believe it. I don't believe there's enough people left in our government who are not crooked or lazy or cowardly. I don't think there's enough of them to make a dent in child trafficking. They don't exist. Their mass is zero. But it makes for a nice fucking movie, doesn't it? However, if you're going to talk about child trafficking and you ignore, you know, 2,000 years plus 2,500 years of Roman history, I don't know. It's weird that you don't mention it. It's just weird. Just weird. Just weird, right? Just weird. Ignorance is what kills, baby. Next topic. Next topic. So there was a dude by the name of Cola, I don't know if I'm saying his name right, Cola di Rienzo. He lived in the 14th century. He was one of the freakish things that happened during the 14th century. And I've been thinking a lot about the mega shit, not just in terms of that Dr. Freckles quote, you can't unpoop a turd, that's relevant to mega and Trump. But I've been thinking about the mega shit in the context of, you know, Rienzo, because Rienzo wanted to bring back the Roman Empire. We need to make Rome Roman again. I mean, you know, I hate to tell you, Cola. You know, it never stopped being. Yeah, it's weird because you hear the Make America Great Again. And if you're a Native American, don't you shake your head? You do. You must. You have to. I'm not a Native American, but if I hear that shit, all things being equal, statistical distribution, if I'm some random Native American and I hear Make America Great Again, I don't have any fucking clue what you're talking about. And as somebody who grew up in Washington State, you know, 40, 50 years ago, whatever, I don't understand it. You know, what are you talking about? What epic of American history was so, well, the 1950s, really? And if it were the 1950s, how would you do it? I mean, how would you force that? How would you make it happen? A lot of it makes no sense. But if you think of it a lot like this Rienzo dude, it makes a lot of fucking sense. You know, it captures that idea. We want to bring back Rome, the greatness of Rome. If only we could be Rome again, maybe we wouldn't have three popes right now. Usually we're supposed to have one pope, and now we have three popes. And that's not right. Papal infallibility. Anywho, you guys can dwell on this topic yourself. I have a link to something from Britannica. It's probably crap, but you can read about this shithead. And he was definitely a mega head before mega was a thing. And Can't unpoop a turd, Rienzo. You can't unpoop a turd, Mega. You're not making it great again. The best you can hope for is some sort of gentle collapse, and that's probably not happening either. Sorry. But Dan, that's racist. Oh boy. Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. It's nearly impossible to be as absurd as reality at the moment, which sucks for me. Reality's crazy, getting crazier. Babylon B is doing propaganda. Everything's fucking crazy, crazier than I can imagine. And that means, I don't know, I'm out of work. I mean, think about it. Women taking salmon semen and putting it in their boobula. I mean, that's some crazy ass shit. And that's a shit that's happening every day now, if you believe what you're told. Me personally, I think they've been fire hosing the American people with trauma-based mind control for more than 4 years now. That's where I'm at. That's what's been going on. A little more than 4 years, they've been mind-fucking us. Hardcore. And it is crazy, and it's impossible to keep up with, because I gotta say, you know, props out to Langley. They've come up with some weird-ass shit, and they keep that fucking video pipeline going. You see some video every hour if you're on social media that probably, if you're a typical American, is gonna piss you off. You'll see something bad that a Israeli's doing to a Gazan. You'll see something bad that a Gazan's doing to an Israeli. You'll see something bad that a Russian's doing to a Ukrainian. You'll see a Ukrainian killing a bunch of Russians, maybe. I don't know. It sounds like a cartoon. You'll see black people beating up some white person. You'll see white people beating up some black person. You'll see a bunch of white people marching for white power and black people marching for black power and all kinds of bullshit. And I can't keep up with it because it's so fucking stupid. But like Elon Musk said, it's so fake it must be real. I can't keep up. It's too fucking crazy. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles, and it is the last quote for the third podcast. That motherfucker on Twitter said I couldn't do it. I did. Maybe you were taunting me. You don't care. My podcast sucks. Fuck you. But here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. If you don't have spider bites all over your body, are you really living in a camper? If you don't have spider bites up and down your legs, if you don't have wounds where they left eggs, are you living in a camper? You can hear the spiders twinkly dinkling. They come down from the ceiling of my camper and lay their eggs in my hair. Little spider, give me a bite if you care, if you dare. Yeah, if you don't have spider bites all over your body, are you really living in a camper, Dr. Freckles? And I'm going to leave it at that. You guys can meditate on that. It's not my fucking business, really. If you listen to this podcast and you enjoy it, as I've stated so many times, I don't know why, but if you do, you can donate. There's a link to PayPal. I don't take crypto. If you don't want me to make fun of crypto, don't ask why I don't take crypto. Fuck off. I don't take stuff in the mail. My mail gets opened, okay? But if you want to donate until PayPal cancels me, and I figure that's going to happen in 90 days or less, but you never know, right? Be an optimist, Dan. Okay. Maybe life cancels me. Yeah. If you like this podcast, you can donate to it. Before you do, listen to the disclaimer. Take care of your food, water, shelter first. Take care of the people in your life that you love, part of your community. Take care of them first. If you're setting aside food for 6 months, think about your pets. Take care of them first before you ever donate to some random old hobo on the internet. And remember, it's not the end of the world. So before you donate anything to me, do yourself a fucking favor and donate to yourself, because it isn't the end of the world. I know I say that. I know I sound like I'm full of shit, even after what I said earlier. But the reality is, it's not the end of the world. And everybody dies. And it has nothing to do with how you die. You might die in pain. You might die in your sleep. I know it would be nice to just do that. Who the fuck knows? It's not how you die. It's how you live. And right now, you can still do some stuff. You can still go and take out a 30-year mortgage on a steak. You can still do it. There's still parts of this life that function. We still have quasi-normality. And much of this that we call normal is going to go away pretty soon. So while you can still do it, do it. Enjoy life. Spend resources on yourself before you donate to some random craphead on the internet. But if you've done all those things and you have piles of gold and cocaine and you rule half the sectors in Texas, then you can donate all your gold money if you want to, Mr. Schmancy Pants. I'll check into the casino. I'll become the blackjack king of the Olympic Peninsula. Have a great rest of your Sunday.